Welcome back to The Controversial Mom. I'm your host, Emily Jones. I know we missed the past few weeks of our regular episodes because I took some time off to spend time with my family. It was a very rare but much needed break, I assure you. And of course, prior to vacation, we hosted our annual Moms for Liberty dinner here in Huntsville featuring Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was an incredible night, packed with bold voices, unshakable parents, and a shared commitment to protecting our kids and our country. It truly reminded me of exactly why it is that we fight. So to everyone that attended, I cannot thank you enough for all of the support and all the prayers. It was a perfect way to close out our first ever annual Parental Rights Month. But now we're back to the grindstone and we're jumping right back into it. Today, we're tackling something that is quietly but aggressively undermining everything that President Trump is trying to do, from securing the border to protecting parental rights. And it's happening behind courtroom doors, far, far away from the voters who chose this administration. It's one thing when Democrats block policy in Congress. It's politics, and that's expected. But when unelected judges step in to shut down national reforms, that is something else entirely. That, my friends, is what we call judicial overreach. And it's affecting families like mine and yours right here in the great state of Alabama. Nationwide injunctions, rogue rulings, one judge changing the course of an entire country. That is what we're tackling today. So let's get to it. Let's start with some basics. What is a nationwide injunction? Because we hear that term a lot in the news. Well, a nationwide injunction is when a single federal judge blocks a federal policy across the entire country, not just for the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, but for everybody. That means that one unelected judge in one district can halt an executive order that was voted for by 74 million Americans. For years, these kinds of rulings were very rare. But during Trump's first term, liberal activist groups discovered they could use these friendly courts to block Trump's agenda. And now, fast forward to 2025, the same playbook is back in use, only this time, it's pretty much on steroids. More than 40 universal injunctions have already been issued since Trump returned to the office in January of this year. It's honestly gotten so bad that even the Supreme Court had to step in. And in late June, the court ruled in a case called Trump versus CASA that these sweeping rulings have gone too far. Judges can now only grant relief to plaintiffs that are actually involved in the case, not the entire country. It was a major win for constitutional order. But don't be fooled. This did not stop the left, and they are not backing down. The left has already started finding ways to work around this ruling. So let's talk about a few examples of how judges are actually working around this recent Supreme Court ruling. The first example is the asylum ban being halted. While I was on vacation, July 2nd to be exact, a U.S. District Judge Randolph Moss struck down President Trump's January 20th asylum ban at the southern border, ruling that this ruling from Trump exceeded his presidential authority under something called the Immigration and Nationality Act, and of course, in violation of the Constitution. Moss, the judge, certified a nationwide class of asylum seekers, shifting his ruling into something that's basically a class action framework. Of course, this is still being allowed under the Trump versus CASA case. So the judge stayed or delayed his ruling for 14 days. This gave President Trump until just this week to appeal the ruling, which the White House, of course, did file an appeal. And now, after the appeal and looking at the documents, legal observers are saying this case will most likely go all the way to the Supreme Court, all because Trump closed the border, just to make that very clear. The next example is the deportation freeze to Sudan, Also, while I was on vacation on July 4th, another federal judge paused the deportation of 8 different men to South Sudan, citing potential violations, keyword, potential violations of the Convention Against Torture Act. Now, let me pause for a moment because I'm throwing out a lot of legalese as I talk through this. I've talked about multiple different cases or laws or acts, whatever it is you want to call them. The point in all of this is these acts, laws, have been around for decades. This is nothing new. The only thing different is that Trump is trying to follow through on his campaign promises and actually deport people and clean up the country. These activist judges are going back into decades worth of law to find ways that Trump potentially violated a very old law. That is how desperate the left is. They're going all the way back through decades worth of cases to find anything that they can use against Trump to say that he is in potential violation of the law and issue these injunctions or these class action lawsuits. So I'm throwing out a bunch of acts and laws that honestly I'm not super familiar with because I've never heard of them until I did research on this topic. So if you've never heard of any of these things, don't worry, most people haven't. It just shows the level of desperation. So I've thrown out a lot of them. I'll continue to throw them out. Don't feel bad if you're not familiar with them. Neither am I. I just know it's what judges are using to try to stop Trump. But back to the case. This case has already been consolidated into a much broader class action lawsuit dealing with the border. And of course, as you can imagine, it is drawing national scrutiny. The third example is probably one of my favorites. It's the gender marker ruling. Now, this basically says that, well, Trump basically said that U.S. passports can only identify male and female. There is a class action lawsuit now that says passports also have to offer the, I guess it's non-binary, it's the letter X, as an option when identifying someone's sex. So a Boston judge expanded what was already a prior injunction, allowing for an alternative gender marker on U.S. passports. This case is also moving forward under something called the Administrative Procedure Act justification. This is echoing tactics in the other class action lawsuit rulings. And then, of course, there's the HHS layoffs that are halted. In Rhode Island, a judge blocked Trump's proposed mass layoffs at HHS, calling the decision by Trump arbitrary and capricious. This ruling also leans on the Administrative Procedures Act, one of the main tools these activist judges are using after the Supreme Court ruling dealing with Trump versus CASA, and this allows them to continue with national consequences in their rulings. Despite the CASA ruling from the Supreme Court, judges are now leaning on class certifications and this APA to sidestep the limitations that the Supreme Court handed down on these nationwide injunctions. So let's talk about how President Trump is responding, because you and I both know he's not going to sit back and allow activist judges to tie his hands in his second term. His legal team's hitting the gas pedal, which most of us can appreciate. They're appealing the rulings as fast as they can. Where possible, they're bypassing the lower courts and they're driving as many cases as they can directly to the Supreme Court. This CASA decision was a huge step forward. It reined in some of the most radical nationwide injunction abuse. But if we're being honest, the left is already rewriting their playbook, and they're really good at doing that. Now, we're seeing wave after wave of class action style lawsuits. These are not designed to seek justice for the individuals, but really, they're just trying to stall Trump's agenda. And really, it's like a never-ending game of whack-a-mole, and Trump's team has to stay 10 steps ahead just to govern and implement what Trump promised on the campaign trail. But here's something you're not going to hear on the evening news. there is serious talk within this administration, like high-level, super strategic conversations around something called non-acquiescence. Basically, all this means is that Trump and his team would flat out refuse to comply with these injunctions from judges who are stepping far outside of their constitutional authority. It's a really bold strategy, and a lot of people say it's extremely dangerous. But others, like myself, also say it's necessary when you're dealing with judiciary that stops acting like a court and starts behaving more like an opposition party trying to implement their own policy. But let's take a moment, slow down, and talk about this a little bit better. This whole debate about the courts, it's not just a legal theory or cable news drama. It's about whether or not we the people still have a voice or whether unelected judges have taken that voice away from us. Some folks will argue that judges are the last line of defense, that they're the only ones standing between we the people and government tyranny. And in a perfect world, sure, that might actually be true. But when one judge in California or Boston can block laws that are supported by millions of voters across all 50 states, we're not talking about balance of power. We're not talking about justice. We're talking about power. We're talking about control, plain and simple. I don't say this lightly, but what we're seeing is truly judicial activism. And it's not the kind that protects our rights. It's the kind that overrides our vote. Even Senator Chuck Grassley has tried to rein this in, but of course, he's been mocked by the press for daring to suggest that judges shouldn't run the country. And listen, I get it. Talking about courts can feel distant and complicated, but the impact of all of this is very real. When a single judge can shut down policies that protect our kids, secure our border, or defend our religious freedoms, all of us lose. This is not just a question about law. It's really a question of who governs and whether our republic still works. Here's the bottom line. If courts can stop every executive order with a simple stroke of the pen, then we no longer have a functioning presidency. Whether it's border enforcement, education reform, or public health funding, policy is being set by these unelected lawyers in places like Boston and San Francisco. In Alabama, that really could mean that schools can't enforce biological definitions of sex. It means cities can't cooperate with ICE. It means parents can't even opt their kids out of gender identity lessons if the Title IX redefinitions were blocked. This is a true sovereignty crisis at both the state and federal levels. So where do we go from here? Let's talk about the Supreme Court for a moment, because even though they did deliver a big win with Trump versus CASA, this story is very far from over. The court's decision made it clear that judges can't just wave a pen and block federal policy for the entire nation. That was a big step in the right direction, but legal activists are already finding ways to work around this ruling through class action lawsuits and other legal loopholes. We've got more cases on the horizon as well. The asylum ban injunction appeal is coming up. The deadline was this past week. I believe that Trump and his team have already filed that appeal. I don't know the details of it, but there's a lot left in that case to figure out. There are legal challenges around the HHS layoffs and Title IX policies that are also making their way all the way to the Supreme Court. And I know this Supreme Court talk feels very, very distant. It's 9 judges in black robes making decisions all the way in D.C., far away from where we are here in Alabama. But the decisions that they make matter a lot. They impact what our kids are learning in school. They impact who is showing up in our neighborhoods. They affect whether our values are protected or if they're overridden. Justices like Alito, Thomas, and even Amy Coney Barrett are holding the line right now. But if Justice Roberts wavers, which is very possible, or if the pressure campaign from the left gets too loud, we could really lose the momentum here. So we've got to keep watching and we've got to stay vocal because our freedoms do not defend themselves. The left knows that it cannot win in Congress, so it's running to the courts instead. And while the Supreme Court did hand Trump a big win with CASA, the fight is far from over. District judges are still out there looking for creative ways to sabotage the national policy that we all voted for. And that means this battle is most likely coming to our backyards. So don't tune this out. I know court talk isn't flashy and most people hate it, but these decisions are shaping how our kids are taught, how our laws are enforced, and how much say you and I actually have in the direction of our country. So here's what we can do. We can continue to follow these cases and know who these judges are. We can call our legislators and tell them we want state-level pushback against judicial overreach. And of course, we can support the people and the organizations that are standing up for our Constitution, because the separation of power means nothing if we let it be ignored. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we either defend our republic or watch it get ruled from the bench. And next week, I'm shifting gears and going straight to the heart of the immigration debate with a parental rights lens, of course, because that's what I do. My next episode is something called Remigration Now. While America's deportation debate is really a parental rights issue, because if we're being honest, our kids are suffering from overcrowded classrooms and they've got drained school budgets. So if you care about your child's safety, you care about border enforcement. And of course, we're going to talk about something that no one else is willing to say. So until then, stay bold, stay loud, but most importantly, stay controversial. I'm Emily Jones, and I am the Controversial Mom.